This episode of the 801 Podcast is brought to you by Futakia.
Futakia is an online subscription service for officially licensed boys love BL manga. Futakia empower readers to support creators and the industry. For as low as $1.99, subscribers will have unlimited access to 400 plus titles. To subscribe, go to read.futakia.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the 801 Podcast. I'm Cho.
I'm Curio.
I'm Kit.
And I'm Koi.
And today we are talking about live-action BL dramas, which is something that has taken over all of our lives as of recently. I know it's taken over my life, especially. And Koi, you've been in this game. Like, you're not new to this. You're true to this. But I still feel fairly new to this. And I believe Curio and Kit are kind of like me, where like we just recently started watching. So we wanted to do an episode about this to dive into this, because as much as we've been about manga and novels on the podcast and just as a group in general over the last few years, this is a new phenomenon that we're just like catching as it goes up. And we thought it'd be a good time to discuss it. So our first question is, what is the first live action BL drama you remember watching? So for me, it was 7 Days, based on the manga 7 Days. And I believe it was 2015 when that came out. And I know it was like, I was watching it illegally. Let's just get that out of the way right now. So I can't complain about the quality, but I believe I watched it like in parts on YouTube, the grainiest like filter. I believe it was like 3 FPS. And the subtitles were, I don't know, I guess people were just taking liberties with it. So I only understood half of what was talking about, but I thought it was the best shit for like the first week that I watched it. And then I rewatched it like a year later in 2016. I was like, God damn, this is frustrating. It was like very low quality. Because it was like made like a shoestring budget, because live action BL dramas isn't really what Japan like goes for. The BL market in Japan is really like geared towards manga. So it was a miracle that this got made at all, but still it was just like very basic. And that doesn't take away from like, you know, the acting. The actors did a really good job, I think. It's still a very emotional story. I think it translated very well to live action. But yeah, it was pretty jank at the time. What about you, Curio?
So I have actually been watching dramas for a while, but I didn't start getting into watching BL dramas until maybe 2019, 2020. And I want to say my first one was Together. And I think for me, it was just, I really didn't know where to find the BL dramas, because I've been reading BL and been in the game for a while, but BL dramas was so new to me. And I want to say that Koi is the one that introduced me to really the first few BL series that I started watching it. And I was like, whoa, there is way more out here than I realized. And so I would still say I'm very much new to the game, but there is so much good content out there for me to catch up on. And I am living my best life currently. So
you're new to it and true to it.
Yeah. Exactly. What about you, Kit?
So I'm about to age myself. technically, the first one I watched was the live action of Princess Princess, which, if y'all aren't familiar with that BL, I'd say BL light.
It's not really a BL, I think, but it's definitely for us, like baby Fujoshi.
Yeah, it was back in the day. Yeah. Because it was printed by Junhei and they marked it as such. So I remember my friends and I were super obsessed with it because it was really funny. Because, you know, it's just a story about at an all boys school, as usual. And pretty boys are nominated to be the school's princesses. And that's it. That's the plot. Chaos ensues. They had a live action, and my friend and I, my friend Ia, we acquired it by not so legal means, of course, but this was also circa 2010, 2009, I don't know, it was a while ago. And yeah, I just remember it was a weird experience, because obviously they couldn't do everything that the manga did, like not as pretty of clothing, their hair wasn't as colorful, but it was still fun. They had all the jokes. And then I didn't really watch a lot of live actions after that. So I would say my reintroduction would probably be The Untamed, even though I didn't finish it just because it was really long. And I was like, I'll read the book and watch the anime. Thanks. My attention span can only last for so long with subtitles, but yeah.
I was gonna say, you might check out, they have some like cut short, to like, you know, like focus highlights that you can just watch those to finish the rest.
I probably should, because I think I got decently far for me. Like, I think I got like 20 episodes in, and even I was impressed.
Well, or you know what you could do is you can tell me, and then I will just cut to the very important scenes for you.
Hell like, yeah.
You didn't watch The Untamed, you got the gist of The Untamed.
Yeah, like, I mean, I had been in the fandom before The Untamed,
yeah,
but then I was like, oh, hell yeah, let's watch these pretty boys, because like the actors, they did a damn good job.
Oh, they're so good. And a lot of them are like new to acting, actually. Like a lot of them were not professional actors before they got into that show. But anyways,
which is wild because they did a magnificent job. But yeah, I would say The Untamed probably got me back into watching them. And then of course, when we started FujoCon and, you know, Thai BL started to explode, I was like, well, let's buckle in, folks.
I want to say, Kit, you unlocked a memory for me with Princess, because I also remember watching that. And this was before I realized I was a lesbian. So I was like, oh yeah, I like men. It's the only men I like are the ones who are cross-dressing.
I feel like that's a lot of the early 2000s bisexual and lesbian awakenings. It's like, oh, it's all about men for me, but when they wear a dress, hell yeah. Because same hat, my dude. I was like, I love cross-dressers. And I was like, wait. It goes beyond that. And Koi, I feel like our expert of live action drama. What was your first?
Well, my first, actually, I think it's hard to pick what I watched. Like, there's so many things. But I think one of the earliest ones that I could remember is actually a movie. It's a Korean movie, actually. It's The King and the Clown.
The angst I felt.
Yeah. Like, I watched it because I really liked the actor. Like, I watch a lot of K-dramas, and one of the actors in there was like, oh, that's an actor I remember. And I watched it, I was like, oh my God, this is a BL. And so I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting. But that's more of a movie, but I really, really like, that's the one I can remember that's the oldest, because it was like a 2005 movie that I watched. And then the other, like, actual, like, when I came back to like watching dramas, I think it was either China's Addicted or Taiwan's History that really like got me back into watching like BL drama. But of course, the one that I will forever remember is The Untamed. Like, that like I like watch like none other, and I like that's The Untamed. I think the feeling for it is that I watched it as it was airing. So I was waiting for like the new episodes as it was coming. So I was like, definitely like really honed in on that show.
That was probably the best way to watch it, I bet.
It was, because then you won't be like, oh, this is too much stuff. There's like you know, it's so long. It's like, no, I'm waiting for the next episode. Like
that kind of feeling. I binged that. I sat my husband down and we both watched it, and I just made him power through episode of it, and he got very into it. Now I have him getting on the Heaven's Official Blessing train.
I will say that is one show that I feel like MXTX works are really good for both genders. Like, both females and males tend to like them because they're very story based. But I just wanted to point that out, that's why I think that's a great idea that you got your husband into it.
It also helps that technically the live actions can't be, you know, gay. But
bromancy.
Yeah,
they're more bromancy, but there's definitely like way more action in those. Not that it's bad that, you know, the other BLs that I know we're going to talk about don't have like fight scenes and zombies and scheming bitches. Well, no, they probably have scheming bitches. That's still in there, but yeah, it definitely helps with the themes.
Yeah, I do want to mention that The King and the Clown isn't technically a BL. But the story of The King and the Clown is amazing. I also watched it. So when it first like came out in Korea, it was made by a director who was like, well, it's gay, so no one's going to watch this thing.
Right.
But gay men couldn't go like to the theater and like, one ticket to the gay movie, please, because they were hiding. So the only people who like watched it like in theaters were women, and they fell in love with Lee Jun Ki, who plays the pretty clown.
Yes, that's so the one I went to watch. Yeah. It's him.
So they organized like fan meets like to go rewatch it over and over in theaters, and they would post that's about awesome. It online to the point where people like who had no interest in like queer cinema went to go watch it, and for a while it was the number one highest grossing movie in Korea because of Bujoshi loving it.
That's amazing.
Okay, so those are all of our first like brushes with BL dramas, but how do you think the live action scene has evolved since that first drama for you? Like for me, obviously the production has gotten much better because I'm sure it was partially because I watched it illegally in parts from somebody's like ripped DVD on YouTube, but it was like in general, even if it was like 1080p, you could still see that it was like a very limited production budget for 7 days. And it's probably because, you know, the studio was like, who is going to watch this? You know, like obviously maybe fans of the manga will, but it's not going to have enough like widespread appeal for us to like sink too much money in this. MBS, the Japanese network, has like a Friday slot dedicated to just Japanese BL dramas for like the rest of the year. Like it started with, I believe, Mr. Unlucky Has No Choice But to Kiss, and then Senpai, like This Can't Be Love, and now we're on Tamara-kun and Amagi-kun, and then we have another BL Japanese drama coming after that, and then another one after that. Like Japan is like just giving them out now because it seems like an actual like lucrative thing to be into. I think that's really impressive.
We are hashtag blessed.
Right? Yes. It's almost too much feel now. So yeah, one, the production quality has gotten a lot better. And two, there's just a lot more to choose from because I'm thinking of like actual like adaptations of manga that I remember. And 7 Days is at the top. But if you go down the line, like those first couple of years when drama started picking up, and it was slim pickings. And now it's like every other day you hear about an adaptation for something, whether it's a Japanese manga or a Thai BL novel. Mm-hmm. What about you, Curio?
I think you really like hit all the points that I was going to say. And just that I feel like it's getting more widely known. I feel like with the past few years with all like the Thai BL series that are coming out, and then a lot of like web novels are getting adaptations, I think it's just, there is just so much more to choose from. Mm-hmm. And I think it's becoming more accessible for people. Like, you know, LGBTQ+ content is just more accessible in general since the past couple of years. You know, you're getting Heartstopper on Netflix, and The Untamed was on Netflix. I think that's how I watched it. Mm-hmm. And so you're getting more things on like Netflix and Hulu and Amazon Prime. And so it's not, you're not having to like scrounge for things on YouTube and like try and find really bad subtitled versions of things. So definitely just, there's just way more to choose from. And I think people are just seeing that it's a really popular and lucrative market to go into, that there's going to be people who are going to watch it and invest in it. So it's, I really just feel blessed. Like being so, you know, young and just being thankful for any crumbs that you get, and now you're just like feasting on all these great things, and the budget's getting better, and the acting and the costuming, and so just from my small time in BL dramas, I feel like I've seen a big shift. But what about you, Kit?
So other than the quality being better, I would say the access to it has just exploded, which is, I mean, reasons why we're blessed. Because like even back when they were like making the low budget, you know, one-off live actions, it was like, well, you're still not going to get access to like the original high def version. You're going to have to watch it, you know, from somebody's DVD, somebody recording it, somebody just uploading it. But now it's like, hey, what streaming service are you on? I guarantee there's a BL drama there. Like, it's great because they're everywhere. Like, and I mean, I think it's made the overall audience grow because, you know, it was such a fast process because I remember like right before the pandemic, people were starting to get into like Korean dramas, like, because that was just suddenly becoming a thing. Like, you heard more people talking about them, and then they found out, like, oh my God, animes are adapted into dramas. And so, like, people were watching it. Then, of course, we had the Panini, so people had nothing else to do but watch dramas. So then all of a sudden, you heard, oh, this webcomic's getting an adaptation. Now this webtoon's getting an adaptation. And then it hit the BL market because Ty BL was like, yo, what's up? We're here. And it just exploded so fast, which coming, I know for us seasoned Fujin, we would get stuff kind of in like a yearly delivery rather than this like almost monthly announcement type.
We had an annual BL drama subscription, and that was monthly.
Yeah. It's insane. Like, I love it. And like Cho was saying, the quality is just so much better. Even when you find out, like, hey, this was actually recorded on an iPhone, it's like, yeah, well, it was still better than the grainy, you know, shit we had on YouTube as we're squinting to be like, wait, what are they doing? So yeah, that's, I think, access wise, it's just been a boom, and it's wonderful.
Mm. It still feels so weird to like watch actually licensed and legal BL on YouTube.
Yeah,
Thai dramas are mostly on YouTube. I'm like, I can just watch this like for free. Like, I'm used to watching BL dramas like on YouTube, but those were illegal.
Right.
Yeah.
You're like, but wait, this is legit. This is
I'm not a criminal anymore.
Is this allowed? It's so wild to me, and it's great because I did not enjoy trying to like Google like where can I watch this shit,
right?
And like not knowing if the link I'm about to click is
gonna give you a virus.
Yeah.
Like it's worth risking it, but God.
Yeah.
But is it? Like, especially like back then when you're like having to use the family computer, it's like, fuck. It's been great, but I mean, Koi, what do you think?
Well, I think all of you guys pinpointed the two major ones that I was going to talk about, which is the budget increase of the shows because of the popularity. Their budgets, of course, you can tell by set, by cast, by storyline, like everything that they put in the money, even like OSTs and stuff like that. You can tell they have definitely increased how much money they're putting into making BL shows. Mm-hmm. And then, like you said, accessibility. Like right now, the amount of like platforms that you can watch BL shows on, there's so many. Like, you know, like, of course we started with like the Viki, now it's like on Amazon Prime. I think there's some on Amazon Prime, but like mostly like Netflix, YouTube, like there's like Gaga Ooh La La. Like there's so many platforms that you can watch BL dramas on that I'm just like shocked how easy it is like to assess the BL dramas. And so that was one of the biggest like things that I think have evolved for it. And then the other thing that I've noticed, because of course I'll be completely honest, I'm materialistic. I love it when you have, I love it when you have the like pretty boys and good looking guys and in the show. Mm-hmm. And I definitely see that evolving. Like it went from like no namers that you don't know and they don't really look the best to like right now they have like top actors being in BL dramas. Mm-hmm. I know there's a lot of them that's not out yet, like they filmed it, but like I'm pinpointing because I love a lot of Chinese ones, but like there's a lot of Chinese adaptations that aren't probably never will be out, but you know, like they were filmed and all of the actors that were in them were top actors in a lot of shows that I watch. And I was so shocked knowing that these actors are now doing BL adaptations. And then of course, in a lot of the Korean and Thai and Japan, if you notice the actors who are now in those shows, they are definitely like of another class to me than like they definitely evolved on who they're choosing to be in these shows to like attract fandom. So that's another thing that I've definitely noticed.
Like K-pop idols in K-dramas.
Yeah,
exactly.
And Johnny's idols in Japanese BL dramas.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's like you could tell they're definitely evolving because they're picking real like popular people to be in these shows, because if it wasn't that way, like if it hadn't evolved that point, then the fandom wouldn't have like boost this high, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And not only that, not only are they picking these very well-known actors or individuals, they're making sure that they represent the character visually perfectly. Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. I mean, in The Untamed, the actors for Wei Wuxian and Lan Wangji are just stunning. Like, they have the facial, well, not that Lan Wangji has a ton of facial expressions, but you know, Wei Wuxian, like, the facial expressions are on point. And that's something that older, you know, series, we didn't, like, they didn't necessarily always look quite mm-hmm. like your main characters. And yeah. now they're putting effort into the costumes, the wigs, the makeup. Like, they are making sure yes. you look at the manga and then you look at the screen and you're like, yeah, that's my character. It's
probably because, like, there's a lot more actors willing to be in it. Before, it was right. like, who's willing to be on screen as a gay character? Mm-hmm. And now there's a lot absolutely. More people who are, so they have a that's range of people to choose
yeah.
from.
Yeah, very mm-hmm. true.
But now people are more open to it because they do see the popularity. Here's the thing is, I was going to point out, for Chinese dramas, if you don't know, a lot of the younger generation actors are more keen to being on BL series or BL adaptations, because when they get a role in that, because of how much acting is involved in that show and all storyline that you have to put in, that they tend to get a lot of requests for second shows. So yeah, they gain their popularity from that show, and then they get to get into more acting. And so it has become a big thing for them. And so I think it's a good thing, because they're really getting involved into not shying away of being in a BL or BL adaptation or a BL show. The other thing I was going to say is, if you notice, the behind the scenes for a lot of shows have now shown you how much, like, they prep for the show, like how much like what's that called, like
behind the scenes kind of
stuff. Yeah, like the camps that they do, like, you know, like the prep camps, like, I forgot what they're called, like their trainings. Yeah, the workshops, thank you, that's the word I was looking for, like the workshop they do to practice or to be like able to act natural around each other, those kind of things, like how mm-hmm. much they put effort into making sure that characters feel comfortable, like, or their actors feel comfortable in their character, and then before they act, the amount of time that they spent and money that they spent to do that also has evolved, because in the past they just actors throw in and start acting, they didn't really like do any of the prep work for it, and yet now you can tell that they definitely do a lot of prep work for it.
Yeah, the chemistry between these characters is noticeable, and it's very well done, and honestly it helps make the series even better.
It happens in a lot of Thai BLs too, where they'll show you like the behind the scenes. They call them chemistry workshops, where they'll just make the actors like put their faces against each other and like match each other's like faces with their hands, mm-hmm. just to like make sure that they actually feel intimate with one another.
Right.
And a lot of early BLs where they're just like, these two dudes clearly have no chemistry.
No. And you can tell they don't even want to be close to each other. You're like, okay.
Yeah. Like, these kisses make me feel like, oh God, like I've never watched gay and homophobic at the same time.
That's also the other thing, practicing how to kiss. Like, here's the thing is, you know, you have to make it look like it looks good on screen, and you can tell when they don't practice that, and I'm like, oh no.
Or when it's one of those fake, like, we're not actually touching lips
or on the side of the mouth. On the side. Japan is guilty of this.
Oh my gosh. Yeah,
Japan.
Yeah. I want to also mention, because you mentioned like you're kind of materialistic, but I think that's totally fair. But it makes me think about how like accessible like hard copies of BL dramas are now. Like, I've started buying so many like English subtitled hard copies, like DVDs and Blu-rays of BL dramas, and I never would have guessed I would be able to do that.
I was going to say the merch accessibility
Have
exploded. Oof. Like, the official merch that you can get now is just I'm living. Wallet isn't, but I am.
Even the fandom one.
The fan merch. Like, people are actively drawing fan art of the actors.
Oh my God. Yes.
Like,
yes.
You don't. There's a clear difference in like in Modal fan art, where people are like, I've watched The Untamed, I'm drawing them in this style, or I've watched, you know, or the anime, read the manhwa, all that. And it's very cool because you still know what series it's
it
from.
Is. And then I think the last thing I wanted to pinpoint for Evolve is the story, the script. if you've noticed, like in the past, the script is very simple. They just take whatever was the adaptation from the book or whatever, and then they just put it all together, maybe copy a couple lines, you know, just tell them this is how what you're doing. But now you can tell there's a script writer behind the scenes who is actually making sure this makes sense. And there's also people who are like the ones that aren't adaptations, like it's a new drama that there's somebody writing the story. Like you can really tell that has evolved. Like and they know what the viewers want to see, and they focus on how to make that happen. And so that has really, really been kind of nice to like when I'm watching a show and I'm like, oh my God, the crew, the people behind the scenes have really, really put effort into making what I want coming true. I can see that, you know. Yeah.
It's a dream job getting to adapt, I'm sure. Like because you're gonna have to read the source material, so you become a fan of it, and then you're like, all right, let's make this good.
So we briefly derided Japan for its bad kissing, but we all started out with like Japanese BL manga for like, you know, our true love of BL before we came into BL dramas. But in recent years, we have gotten like Thai BL, Korean BL, Chinese BL, Taiwanese BL. How would you say like the country's styles are different from Japan's? Like, this can't be love. For me, I know, like, of course, the kissing in Japanese BLs tends to be very, let's say, chaste, you know. If they are on the lips, they're very chaste. And usually they're not. And usually get, like, one kiss per series. Like, if they kiss in episode 6, they're not going to kiss for the next, like, 4 episodes. It's going to be over. But also, I find that the storylines in Japanese BL adaptations, like, what it's chosen to be adapted tends to be more like palatable to a larger audience. Like maybe it's just because the BL manga that I read is problematic as hell, but the things I see get picked up for adaptations with Japanese BL tends to be things like No Touching at All and 7 Days and, you know, Manhunt Who Defies the World of BL, like things that, you know, if you outsiders came looking at it, they maybe wouldn't like get the whole thing, but they would be like, okay, this seems pretty harmless. Not too gay, which isn't a bad thing, obviously. And of course, this is just like a handful of BL dramas I'm talking about. There are things like, you know, Pornographer, which is something that like no outsider watching it would probably get, or like Dangerous Drugs of Sex. But Kiria, what do you think?
I agree with a lot of what you said. I would say that a lot of the Japanese BL I've seen relies a lot on like slapstick comedy, less touching than some of the other BLs, and that it focuses more on like a more like air quotes mature story and like more like workplace settings, kind of like old-fashioned Cupcake. I feel like they kind of focus more on like kind of an older, more complex story in a way. But then like with Korean BLs, I've definitely noticed the influence of K-pop in their filming. It's just so,
and K-dramas in general.
And K-dramas in general, exactly. Yeah. Like the wardrobe, the makeup, how they're filming it, how they're lighting it. Like you can really see those elements in it. Mm-hmm. And I will say, I feel like a lot of the Korean dramas that I've seen, BL dramas that I've seen, tend to be more insta-lovey. I don't know if it's just the ones that I've watched, but that's something I kind of noticed. And then for like Thai BLs, it definitely has better queer representation overall than Japanese and Korean ones, just because I know sentiments there are more positive towards it. And I think gay marriage is legal there. I don't quote me
it's
on
not.
That.
It's not
in Thailand.
Okay. Damn. Okay. Well,
they are trying to get it made. I think it has recently.
They're pushing. Yeah.
Yeah. It's been pushing. It's been accepted by at least one house so far, which is as far as they've gone.
Gotcha. But definitely better sentiments and like more open about it, I would say. And I feel like they have younger cast too. Like I feel like it's more, some of the ones I've seen are they have younger cast because they're focusing more on like high school stories and more. I feel like they have a lot more like kind of tropes that they play into in some ways. But that's just a little bit that I've seen. Like I said, I'm still very new to BL dramas, so I'm kind of learning as I go and dipping my toes into all the different, you know, country styles of BLs. But what are your thoughts?
You bring up a good point, actually, Kirio, that I wasn't thinking that Taiwanese BL is probably the queerest like of all the countries, yeah, because it is. Mm-hmm. Gay marriage is legal in Taiwan. It's right, the only exactly place in Asia, yeah, where gay marriage is legal.
The representation in Taiwan is very open about it, and mm-hmm, and you can tell by the way that they make BL series. It's very like you can tell their support in the show.
It feels so, yeah, much more authentic, and just, I don't know, it's just a very different feel and vibe than Korean and Japanese BL.
You'll actually hear a character say that they're queer, like, more,
yeah,
often than not.
I'm puffing my chest because I'm,
yeah,
a country.
Proud Taiwanese. Yeah.
Taiwanese right here.
So,
yeah. Oh, yeah, go for it, Kit. Oh,
sorry. I was going to say, the thing I've noticed the most, like, as y'all were saying earlier, it's definitely reaching a wider audience than just the Fujoshi for a lot of the countries beyond, obviously beyond Thailand. And another thing I noticed is that it's always more series that definitely are feelings first rather than lust first, which, not a bad thing, but it definitely makes you, as a fan who reads, you know, BL manga, you know that it's still going to be a long time coming before you see a series like Jealousy on as a live action drama or something, you know, or, you know, some of the more problematic or, yeah, I'd say smuttier series, mm-hmm, which, like, obviously I'm not saying like, hell yeah, give us the porn, like, because obviously am. You don't, well, yes, but I mean,
yes,
about, okay, what's typically available on streaming services, even outside of BL, like, there isn't super heavy series other than it going to HBO, but so it's not like there's a precedent set yet, so that's why I don't see it happening for BL as quickly either. Mm-hmm. But the feelings first is nice, but I would just like it to be a little more let's get a little tongue action in there or something, you know.
Yeah, like Kira mentioned that, like, it's more insta lovey, like, mm-hmm, for, was it Korean, yes, details you said, yeah, yeah, I think, yeah, it's because, like, yeah, there's only 8 episodes, so
they're,
like,
shorter. Exactly. They're shorter,
they're, yeah, much they're shorter. Shorter, that's another thing, is they are definitely shorter series, the Untamed excluded, than a lot of other dramas, and, mm-hmm, so the relationships definitely develop faster, which, I mean, let's be real, there's a lot of BL manga that's on that same vibe, but it is very much like more love at first sight, or I've developed, mm-hmm, feelings for you, and they're not just like, it's love. And I don't know, we're human, we know that sometimes you don't like someone because of who they are, you just want to bang them, and I would love to see more of that.
I got some Thai BLs to recommend you then.
See, and that's the thing, Thai BLs are different in that they're not always, you know, feelings first, and I really like,
oh, no,
that
they aren't
and that's refreshing compared to the other countries that are, you know, on the BL scene. But the one thing with the Thai BL is that we do know that if you're an engineer,
engineers are gay.
Yes,
that's I feel so bad for the other engineers that aren't gay. Yeah. Like,
I told my friends, like, fiance, like, oh, you were engineering. I'm like, oh, you're gay. And he was like, what? I was like, no, hey, I didn't make the rule.
Yeah, sorry. Talk to the Thai BL producers. It's, that's,
oh my god,
that's the one difference with Thai BL. But I do think, because, like, we have on here, you know, not talking about BL from other countries, one thing I think we could also mention is it's actually opened up for a lot of US or, yes, English based stuff to come out. Like, we literally have a movie coming out called Bros, which, like, the title makes you think, oh god, this is gonna be cringe, but I watched the trailer and holy, ooh, shit, I'm excited for this movie.
Yeah,
it's like a himbo and you know, a gay man love story. Like, the himbo's also gay, but, like, he's not your typical, you know, how they're portrayed in usual English American, mm-hmm, romances. And that's, like, I feel, because there's been this rise in all these other countries, and obviously a lot of the fans are still English, that it's allowed more content to be produced in, yes, America or even the UK. So that's another thing that I think is interesting. I just, like I said, let's move a little bit beyond feeling feelings. Let's add a little bit of spice. It is very interesting. I feel like we're getting a lot more, I guess they'd be established characters where they know their sexuality, they know what they're into. That's becoming more prominent. Whereas, I mean, Japan is still stuck a little bit in the, oh my God, am I gay? Wait, I like this guy. And it's like, right. Okay. we can be outed. Like, you can be out, or at least not closeted, but you know yourself. Like, mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be the sudden discovery of, oh my God, I love this man.
Or like the gay for you kind of thing.
Yes. Yeah.
I feel like that trope, even though people have been very vocal about disliking it in manga and everything, sometimes the dramas give the vibe.
Right. And they make it work. They make you understand mm-hmm. that. Like, mm-hmm. it's whereas when you're reading it reading it in a book or a manga, it doesn't have that same, like, you're like, oh, I support this. Where you're watching it, you're like, oh, I support it. Go for it. Go. You know, like, it's a completely different feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is.
So I will go into mine if you're done.
Okay. Yes, sorry.
Oh yeah, cool. I do have a lot to say. And the styles, there's definitely a difference in the country. I think each country does a lot of things differently. And one of the things that you point out, Cho, that I think is very big is of course their maturity on smutty stuff. Like, mm-hmm. if you know, definitely on the top of the list is Thailand. They can go right into it. Like, and then of course mm-hmm. you move down, then like on the very bottom of the list is Chinese. And like, they don't, it's their country is very limited on what they can show. It's not mm-hmm. that they don't want to, like, yeah. there's a lot of people in the back, like their crew, that really wants to promote more, but they have to cut or edit out the scenes that they have been wanting to put into the show. And so it's kind of really like sad. It's very I'm very sad about it, because the amount of things that I see, like, they had to dub over the original lines to make it fit, whereas the original line was super gay, and I would have loved it if they had the original line, you know, those kind of things. And then of course but when it comes to like maturity of story, like, I'm talking about how serious the story is, or how realistic, I would put, or not realistic, but like more something that's more serious matters. I would put Chinese at the top. They do mm-hmm. really good with their storyline and plot. And I would put like Japan next, like for the maturity, with like Taiwan, like their maturity stuff is a little bit more higher. And then like the rest, like Thailand and Korea, I would think they're more simple, like their storyline's a little bit more wholesome stuff going on. It differs. And then talking about individually, Japan, like when they first made BL, of course it's like adaptations from manga. And so the feeling, like the way that they film it, is a very manga feeling, like it's like panel looking kind of, and then when you're watching it, you feel like you are really getting the manga stuff, that like that feeling to it. Mm-hmm. Thailand, I think, of course, is currently winning in the BL industry because they make multiple series coming out every year. Like, currently they have like 13 airing, like they have 13 BLs airing, and they have 20 on the line that's coming out. It's crazy how much that they have coming out. But for Thailand series, they were inspired by Japanese manga, and they came out more from like in their own modern light novel adaptations. Because they don't shy away from the physical and funny scenes, they tend to have like very attractive casts and in their lead roles, it's very popular. And so because of that, their industry had bloom so much when they don't shy away from that information, like that type of filming. Mm-hmm. And then Chinese series, of course, are normally adaptations from their BL novels or web novels, but you know, they tend to, you know, like change the intimate relationships to more bromance or shippy rather than the original canon of the storyline. So then they are popular for the story, but then they lose a little bit of that, oh, where's that really smutty moment, or that really like intimate moment that everybody's been waiting for, and it's not there.
Give us the bath scene, damn it.
Right. Oh my goodness. The kiss in the forest, like, come on.
Every day means every day.
Every day, exactly.
Coward.
And then the Korean series tend to stick to, like we've mentioned, K-drama styles, and their tropes are very often seen in the K-drama styling. They tend to be short and sweet. Cinematically, they're very pretty, and they have really good OSTs, but they have very small sets and casts that you can tell. Like, they're very small, and they tend to be more PG, wholesome romances. Taiwanese series, I think, are more bold, like Thailand. They can be a little bit more intimate with their scenes. They're not as bold as Thailand. They haven't gotten to that point yet, but they're getting there.
Soon.
Yeah, but I like Taiwanese ones where they represent a more realistic world. Like, you can tell because of, you know, like, they're open to gay marriages, and their support for LGBTQ, it's in their story. Mm-hmm. And they push for more mature topics and slice of life type of storytelling. And so it's really nice to see something that seems to be what you can see every day. Like, I have a feeling when I'm watching Taiwanese dramas that, hey, this could be a friend of mine that's here. Like, that kind of feeling is kind of nice.
Absolutely.
I fully support Taiwanese shows. Like, you have no idea how much I support them. As for Pione, I haven't watched a lot of them. I think I've only seen a few. But they tend to be very similar. I think, to me, the ones that I've watched, they seem to be very similar to, like, they're like quick versions of Thai series to me sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Pinoy BL is like basically basing itself off of Thai BL, whereas like Thai BL, Taiwanese BL, Korean BL, Chinese BL all base itself off of Japanese BL. So that's like Pinoy BL is more like removed from all of them. And also like in the Philippines, like, their BL is more geared towards like queer men, I'd say. Like,
in most
of the countries, there's like, here's queer entertainment, and then there's BL entertainment. Like, BL entertainment is a form of queer entertainment, but like, it's a decidedly different audience. But in the Philippines, it feels like BL is the queer entertainment. And I feel like that goes for a lot. Please watch Game Boys, everybody. It's amazing.
Yes. It's good.
All right. So, you know, we're all avid BL manga readers as well as series watchers. For those of you who've watched adaptations of series that you've previously read, which would you say has the best, like, loyalty to the source material? Like, you think that is the best adaptation of a series? For me, I'd say it's Pornographer, which, yes, actual name, based off the Pornographer series by Marikito Maki, I believe, which you can read on Futakiya. And it is, I think, really, really well done. I read it, I watched the series on Viki, and I read the manga on Futakiya, and it's based off a man who, like, runs into another man on his bicycle and breaks his wrist and learns that man, like, can't support himself anymore because his whole job is writing down, like, physically with a pen, smut novels, basically. So he has to, like, be his ghostwriter. So he, like, narrates what he wants written down, and this young man writes it for him, and of course it's horny because it's called Pornographer.
But, yeah, like, it's in the title,
and it's one of the smuttier BL, like, adaptations I've ever watched, besides Dangerous Drug of Sex, which scarred me for life, but we're not talking about that. For Pornographer, I feel like the casting was on point. Like, the tone of the series somehow matched the tone of the, like, manga itself. And maybe it's because, like, I watched the series first and then read the manga, so I was, like, retroactively, like, thinking back to the scenes I'd seen. But I feel like you could, like, follow along, like, page for page along while watching the series, and it would match up perfectly. Kyria, what would you say is, like, the best adaptation for something you've read? Or
well, I'm currently adding Pornographer to my list right now. I feel like I'm going to be really basic with saying this, and I'm okay with that, but Cherry Magic 30 Years of Virginity makes me a wizard. Like, I don't know, there's something about how the drama captured just kind of the, like, one's kind of an awkward introverted guy, and one's the really cool guy in the office, and how his magic works, and how that played into their relationship, and and then I also realized that I just haven't, if it has been adapted, I usually have either watched the drama or read the manga and not both for a lot of things.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I'm very much like, I either like the book or I like the movie type of person. So I need to do more of both of the adaptations. But I really feel like Cherry Magic did a really good job of capturing the essence and the feeling of the characters and the magic.
From
the manga to the live action,
it's like silly, so premise, it was very like Like, I think got me, like, you know, very like human story of like Adachi. I was like, I understand. I can relate to this character.
And yeah, like they so really
the side went the were great.
Yeah, they the side character, they do such a good job, because let's be real, the side character storyline is I mean, granted, the main character has wizard powers.
Yeah,
the side character storyline is a little out there, like, because who's able to really befriend their packet? I mean, well, you know what? I'm not gonna knock it.
You never know.
Now, since the panini, we do get a lot more shit delivered, right. But still, it was a little bit like, oh, okay, this is definitely a fantasy. Like,
yeah. If you think about it, it's very different here than there, though, because delivery here, they just leave it at your door and stuff like that.
That's true.
Some of the other delivery at other countries, they really do ring the bell and stuff like that. So
that's fair, but I agree with Kyria. Like, they really made it feel like a real story, even though it was so fantasy. Like, I mean, obviously.
Yeah, it's a silly premise. Like, if you turn 30 and you're a virgin, you get wizard powers. And all right. But it just was such a fun. I just remember having such a good time with that after reading the manga and then watching it. And
yeah,
it just, I feel like to me that did such a good job of adapting it. But. Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry.
Oh, okay. I also feel like I should mention that since we're talking about side characters, Cherry Magic, Rokaku Yuta, who is the new guy in the office, the one who gets all upset because he thinks that the writer is being homophobic. Yeah, he has his own BL drama right now, Minato's Coin Laundry, based on the BL manga, Minato's Coin Laundromat.
Yobai
list for best story, I think, last year. But yeah, he also has it. Wakajou and Gaga Ola. I have not read the source material, so I can't say how well it follows it, but we have more BL actors going on.
If you watch it, let me know if it's good or not, because I do like him.
I really like him. He was very good. I want more of him.
I watched the first episode, and it was pretty funny, but it's the story is. It's probably going to make or break people because it's about an age gap romance. So
I'm into it.
Yeah, I'm like, you say that sign like it's me. A problem.
I mean, he's a high school student. It's a high school student and a man who owns a laundromat.
Hell yeah. Sign me up.
There you go.
I'm ready for it.
Right, sorry, Kit. You were saying.
Oh, yeah. No worries. So, yeah, I also agree. Cherry Magic was really well done. I'd say... I'm torn because Semantic Error was pretty well done too.
Oh yeah.
But I have a real soft spot for Old Fashioned Cupcake. I really, when we got to read that for the Yabai list, like I guess it was 2 years ago, I fell in love with this series, which is weird because I'm not usually one for like super soft and I don't know. It usually isn't my jam, but it was really good. And then watching the live action, and it was just them on their cute little dates and him pining. And I think it's very well done. And it conveyed, it's kind of like how well Cherry Magic was done. Like you've got all the emotions conveyed. They really, like, when they gave, I'm horrible with names, so I'm just going to say the younger office worker, when he looks at the main character and he has those looks of pining and when he gets upset, jealous and everything, it's just so well done. It's like reading it and you know how they're feeling. And that one hits hard. I have a major soft spot for that one. But Semantic Era is also quite well done. I'm still in shock that they got that billboard up. Yes.
Sorry, this is my first time being gay. I'm like, perfect.
Okay.
I cannot believe this. I mean, good for them. Like, knowing the marketing process and how it works, the fact that that got approved, hell yeah. Kudos. I'm proud of that team. But holy shit, what a line to pick.
Right?
Fun fact from Josephine here. With Old Fashioned Cupcake, we have officially had a Japanese BL drama with every single person from a Kamen Rider, Kamen Rider Saber, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
Because Adachi from Cherry Magic, Mob from A Man Who Defies the World of BL, and Nazue from Old Fashioned Cupcake were all in the same Kamen Rider season as different Kamen Riders.
Wow.
Now we have a Kamen Rider from all three.
So now we know the pipeline is if you want to get into BL acting, you got to be a comic.
Right. And Senpai, this can't be love. Senpai, this can't be love. Both of them were, both of them, like, of the couple were common writers. Like, the common writer to BL pipeline is like direct.
I love that.
That is so awesome. Amazing. Yeah.
Common writer build is what they, the first
build. Okay, yeah. Gotcha. That's
so
awesome.
Heads up to all those aspiring BL actors. You got to go be a common writer first. And then you'll
At least in Japan.
Then you'll be set. But yeah, I when you told us that fact at A-Fest, I died because like what a jump of series. Yeah.
Like a Pepe Sylvia, like of just like mapping the common
yeah.
With the red strings on the wall. Like
I love it. But yeah, so I would say for me, even though it's tough, I'd go old fashioned cupcake. Has been probably one of my favorite adaptations and very mm-hmm. true, along with the other ones mentioned, but to be different. I'm going with
thank
that
you,
one.
Sublime, for licensing the manga. Thank you so much.
Yeah, oh, yes. I lost my goddamn mind when they posted that announcement. I was so excited.
Yeah, we were talking about, wouldn't it be cool if they licensed old fashioned?
Yeah, literally had, I said my one wish for this 801 day was to get that license, and lo and behold, I have now used up my luck for the year, but it's fine.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Yeah, thank you. Koi, what about you?
So my first one that I was going to mention was already mentioned, which is Cherry Magic. I definitely love that one. Like, it was so good. So since it's already mentioned, I'm going to mention my second one. And it's also something that we've already talked about. It is Modou. The Untamed has been a really good adaptation to, like, it's, to me, it has been one of the best that I've watched for BL because I am a huge fan of the novels. So I read the novel in Chinese first, and so I've been waiting for the series to come out, and like, I was one of the ones that had been like iffy about when they were choosing like non like actors to be playing the roles, like new actors to be playing the roles. I was one of those. I was like, is this gonna be okay? Is this gonna work out? And then like I've been like very judgy. I'm like, okay, is this outfit gonna be okay? You know,
fair.
Yeah.
Like I'm one of those people. And then like when I started watching, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe how much I love this. And like even though it is an adaptation and they change a lot of the, like, some of the way that they're, like, the storytelling, they had to change it to more film version, it still, like, hold on to the original plot and story for the novel, and it still hold the, like, core of the characters, and even all the side characters. Like, it was so good. Like, as I'm rereading it in English right now, like, of course, thank you, Seven Seas, for having those books come out. As I'm rereading them in English, I can see the actors who are acting these characters as the characters that I'm reading in the novel. So to me, that's definitely a success. Like, if you can make me think about you as this character,
yeah.
Like, I'm like, okay. And then like, imagine the even like the filming of, like, you know, what it looks like what does the Unclean Realm look like? What does Gusu look like? Like, I can imagine from, of course, you know, there's all the other adaptations that I use too, like the animation adaptation. Like, when you can imagine it and put it into when you're reading it, that is a success to the adaptation. So that's my one.
I think that's a super, that's absolutely true, because usually for those of us who do start with the manga or the animated adaptations, we're going to picture those original, you know, versions. But if you've seen all that and the live action, but then you start seeing those actors while you're reading the novel, like, they nailed it.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. Like it's really weird, because before, when you first read it, you don't have those imagery. Like, you don't, it doesn't come out that way. But now, like, when I'm rereading it, I'm like, oh, I can pinpoint exactly how those actors are going to, like, their facial expressions, like, you can see it, and it's like, oh my goodness, that's so good. so that's what I would say my best adaptations are, and I'm gonna put a flag out there, hopefully this flag will come true, that my next best adaptation is gonna be Red, White, and Royal Blue. So,
oh, I'm so excited.
Hopefully that is gonna be a best adaptation for me too.
I almost completely forgot that that was happening, and now I'm even more hyped because holy shit, if you followed the Twitter, just the little things they posted behind the scenes, I'm psyched. That's hell yeah.
I've been following it like tea. I'm like, okay.
Right? Oh, it's so, I'm so excited. That's going to be, thank you Amazon Prime for bringing us Red, White, and Royal Blue. Fuck yeah.
So put a flag out there. I hope that is my next best adaptation. So
yeah. Fingers crossed. God.
Right. So I think we've proven ourselves as like knowledgeable Fujin here. We know our shit. Like no matter where we are, like in our journey, whether we're just starting out or like we're just seasoned veterans, we are deep into the BL live action game. So with our knowledge, what would you recommend for Fujin who are new to the live action scene? For me, I would say Ken Porsche, which came out recently. It finished not too long ago. My girlfriend and I actually started a BL night with our non-BL friends, one of whom their only brush with BL was the Gravitation OVA back in 2000. Studio
Demon. Hell yeah!
That was our last brush with
BL. Rowing it
back. Yep, way back. And we showed them Ken Porsche and they lost their shit. Like they knew
you
nothing
went
about-
deep. Like first
I went deep.
Deep
I was like,
deep.
Gotta go deep in.
Damn, yeah. That is a jump from Gravitation.
I showed them that after I showed them History 4, which is the most contested history, but also one of my favorites because it involves brother fucking, which gotta have. But it's also really good. So I showed them that first and they were like, okay, this is nice. Why'd you show us that? And I was like, because, you know.
Why'd you show us that?
Like, yeah, it was great. So I showed them Ken Porsche and they were like enamored. And I think it's because like, you know, a lot of Thai BL is, you know, set in college and got some engineers going. It's about like discovery and interpersonal drama.
Well, they're unhinged. Okay. When it comes to scenes, they are unhinged.
They are unhinged there. Yeah. But I was like, okay, so we're all like, you know, women's in our like late 20s and 30s. Like we need some, like maybe some mature BL. So I showed them Ken Porsche. Because my girlfriend and I watched it as it was coming out and we loved it. And it's a mafia story. It's got action and guns and a whole lot of sex. And they loved it. Like they were screaming at the screen on parts. Like the plot twist took them completely off like kilter. They loved it. And because of that, they're more willing to watch more BLs with us. But every time we're watching a BL, they're like, I miss Ken Porsche. That's how
it's hard. It's really hard to get over your first, though. Yeah,
that's true, right? Technically, their first was History 4, but I don't think they like to think about that. I still love History 4, by the way. Close to You, love it. Very sad that it will never have a DVD. Yeah. I did email Line. They told me they will never have a DVD for it. And I was like, sad, but understandable.
Wow.
Yeah, I have a DVD for History, both History 3s, but no History 4. Okay.
They're not going to make one? I didn't know that they're not.
Yeah, I asked. Aww. I was like, do you have any plans to? They were like, no.
That's so sad.
That's rough, man. It's like, weird. To get shut down like that, too.
That is so sad.
How much do I have to pay you to get me?
Right?
How many retreats will it take?
Right? I'm going to start a change.org petition. Please.
Make petition time. Let's go.
Yeah, Ken Porsche. Easy crowd pleaser. These guys had like no idea about modern BL dramas at all, and they loved it. I think it's
amazing. Crazy.
And we will be watching it on our BL night.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Excited. I am so excited.
Y'all, I got a brand new TV. I got a Roku.
Oh,
we're fucking going off on this BL. Let me tell ya. I may even move my sound bar into the living room just so we really can enjoy it. But ooh, that also, we'll see.
BL and surround sound.
Just all of it. We're just like immersed.
Yeah. Like Ken Porsche, like, it's very hyped, but I feel like it deserves the hype. Like mm-hmm. I waited to buy the merch for it. They had a light stick, guys, a Ken Porsche light stick, and like Italian mafioso shirts that I'm so sad I did not get. But
okay,
definitely recommend Ken Porsche if you are new to BL and want something more like dramatic. I feel like it's like the reason people like things like The Untamed and Modao Zushi is because it's very plot heavy. I feel like this has that, but with a whole lot of fucking. So
hell yeah. That's
okay,
like
okay,
you got my attention.
I know, right? Yeah. I was like, okay,
sign me the fuck
I will
up.
Be okay. we'll see how much I like
okay.
it.
Yeah. Curio.
Because
well, mine's gonna be the exact opposite, and I'm gonna recommend My Love Mix Up or Keita Hotsukoi, just because I feel like if you're Fujin, you probably have already read manga and probably, you know, kind of used to reading your BL, and this one is an adaptation of the manga, and it's only 10 episodes, so it's short and sweet, and it's not like super intense if you don't want to just dive straight into, you know, maybe some really intense stuff. If you do, totally cool. But if you want to just kind of like baby steps it in, I think this one's a really cute, right. Wholesome. It does a good job of navigating life as a high schooler and dealing with like your crush and figuring out your sexuality and stuff. Also, Together was my first one that I watched. So that's also, you know, we were talking about you never forget your first. So that is another one that I would promote. As just for me, those were some that it helped me transition from doing a lot of just like manga and web comics and just like non-BL dramas into dipping my toes into BL drama. Mm-hmm. So those are what my recommendations would be for New Fujin.
Nice. But
what about you, Kit?
So I'm going to talk to the people who are like me and cannot focus long enough to watch subtitled series. Nothing against them, of course. It's just I personally have a problem where I can't binge an entire series unless I'm in a silly, goofy mood. So I'm going the route of recommending Mr. Unlucky. And honestly, A Man Who Defies the World of BL, because first off, they're both very light-hearted. And they still have like a little bit of drama, like it's nothing compared to some of the other titles we've talked about. But like, you know, kind of the drama you would expect in maybe like a sitcom that has a little bit of a serious twist. But A Man Who Defies BL is fucking hilarious and has the best ending in the world, or the opening, whichever one it is. It's amazing.
The opening is amazing.
Yeah, the opening.
Yes, the hilarious. Opening and the fact it changes in the season, like, mwah, chef kiss.
Don't ruin it, because I haven't seen the second one yet. So don't spoil it for me.
It's just the opening of what they do. It's so good. But also, Mommy. Mr. Unlucky was kind of my bridge back. Like, because I watched Man Who Defies the World of BL with my friend. And I feel like I can watch things with people, but on my own, it's a lot harder.
It's harder, yeah.
Yeah. But Mr. Unlucky, I was like, 2 episodes in, I was like, sign me the fuck up. I am addicted to this one. Like, it was really cute and kind of stupid in that, like, it has a weird, silly scenario, but oh, it was so funny because, like, the one guy is just unlucky until he gets near this other guy. And that premise is wild. And it's just a really fun watch. And I feel like for people who, like, are a little not scared but just like hesitant to start dramas, because like it is sometimes weird going from watching anime to live action. I don't know why, but there's just moods about it.
Yeah.
And I think those two series especially really are a good bridge and will make you love what they're doing with live actions.
They do feel very like anime, like it's very like, took it from the manga to it, because it's very slapstick, very over the top.
And they're very quick. Like there's no like dragging. Like it's very quick, fast.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And like but it's still done in a way that works for live action. Because sometimes like the slapstick jokes in a manga don't work as well when it's actually acted out in real life. But they do just a really good job with the absurdity of some of the situations. So. Mm-hmm. Hell yeah.
We're watching Mob like almost over a cat, like dramatically teetering for like 12 seconds.
It's so good.
I'm so glad you mentioned a Man Who Defies the World BL, because I forgot to put that in there. I was like, yes, that is definitely one that has to be recommended.
It really does. Because, like, not only is it kind of it pokes fun at BL, but in a really sweet way, because, like, it's like the guy isn't afraid of being gay. He just doesn't want to be caught up in these weird romance, like, you know, strung up on someone situation. Yes. And it's just, oh, God, what a funny, funny series. Everybody.
But watching
even
the
if
guy,
you're not a Fujoshi.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, it's better if you're a Fujoshi, because you're like, I know all these tropes.
Yeah.
It's like when he's watching that guy monologue about like how like smooth or like elegant some dude's neck is, he's like all mixed up like that.
Yeah.
What are you talking
about?
Yeah.
Like it's an absolute joy for Fujin, but even non-Fujin, or at least people who
are
like,
they would get the jokes, you know.
Yeah, they would
bit,
get the jokes. And even people who aren't like, I guess, hardcore Fujin, they would still appreciate it because it's just a fun watch, but it's a little gay, and that's what we all love.
Yes.
Oh, what about you, Koi?
So my first recommendation is for people who are into the manga fandom. So I definitely recommend the Cherry Magic. It's a more lighthearted, but it's a very it's a manga adaptation. So people who like BL manga can be like, okay, this is similar to what I like. The second one that I had put down was actually not a manga adaptation, but it gives you a feel of like you're reading a manga. It's the Taiwanese series We Best Love. Nice. I really love that one. It's fast. It's quick. Like it's short. It's only like six episodes. Like it's a very short, like six episodes per season. I think six and six. I think that's what it was. It's very short and it's like very straight to the point. Also the other thing that I like about it is that it gives you that like first love feeling, like your heart racing. Like you can understand the character's crush and everything. It's like, it's really a great show. I love it. And then the last one, of course, I recommend is going to be more for the people who love heavy plot and very intense storylines. At the, you know, adapted from the novel is of course my favorite, The Untamed. So if you do love like long series that you just want to see a whole bunch of the same people coming on screen the whole time telling you very, very intense storylines with suspense and a lot of action, then I'm talking about more like fighting action, not the type of action you're thinking about, which I mean, I wish they had it. I wish they had it. Don't worry, if you go into the fandom you will see it, it's there. But like I definitely recommend The Untamed, and talking about watching shows with friends, I will strongly suggest whenever you're watching BL series, it's so much fun watching it with a live party or a watching party. Like right now I'm currently watching Word of Honor with a party, like every Wednesday, and it's so much fun. Like you just like side comments and everything, it makes it go by faster. Like so if you had people like watching it with you, especially those long ones, it makes it easier to watch, I think.
Yeah, because I tried to watch Word of Honor on my own, and that first episode, y'all, I don't know.
Yeah, it's harder.
It doesn't hit. It does not hit. I was like,
No, okay, I wish you joined us, because our group, we make such fun comments. You have no idea.
Know.
There's like, we were talking about like, everybody, you need to bring a donut every time to the show, and then there's lots of nuts in that show, so like, nuts are like everywhere.
That's our thing.
Like, honestly, I'm so sad y'all started it when I was still working my old job, because now I have all the fucking time in the world to do shit, and everyone's in the middle of stuff, so I'm like, well, I guess I'll try it by myself, and I cannot.
Oh,
my attention span
is hard.
Like,
but I was gonna tell you, they're thinking of the next one is going to be The Untamed. So what you could do is you could wait until where you're like, you know, like 20 episodes in, then jump in with us.
Right.
Yeah. So like, yeah, I have a BL night now with those friends that I indoctrinated with History 4 in Ken Porsche, and it's so much fun to watch it with people.
Right.
Like watching
it's
with
so
my girlfriend
fun.
Even is just like great.
Side comments, like inside jokes are all there, you know.
Yeah,
also mentioned, like you said, like The Untamed doesn't have action. Like, I was out of town for a weekend and my girlfriend had taken like a weed gummy, and she texted me, why didn't you tell me that one of the dudes from The Untamed fucked himself with a sword? I'm like, what are you talking about? I was like, I didn't read the novel. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's in the novel.
Yeah.
I can tell you, that's why I'm saying if you get into the fandom, like The Untamed itself is very PG, but if you get into the fandom, it is not PG. Yeah. It is not.
Okay. Also, I'm not telling anyone to do drugs, but I will say, watching some of these dramas, after you've watched it initially, but if you like watch some of your favorite scenes while you're a little high,
inebriated somehow.
Like another great BL Garden quote. I'm not saying to do drugs.
Oh no.
But...
I'm not saying you need to do drugs. But hear me out. Edibles really make a lot of things way more enjoyable.
If,
I mean,
if you want, you can also do like drinks. Like you can get tipsy.
Yeah. Get drunk.
We're not encouraging you to be inebriated when you watch BL, but
we're saying it's not a bad way to enjoy things.
Oh no.
Yeah, because like sometimes the absurdity hits so much better. Like I have literally had to pause because something made me laugh so goddamn hard.
Right.
Oh yeah, but you know, not encouraging anyone to drink irresponsibly or do drugs, blah, 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 blah. If you need a plug, hit me up.
We're going to have to cut that out. We're not.
Beale Garden I was going to say, that's a lot going on.
The D in Beale Garden stands for drug plug. Yeah.
Drug plug. When we go back to running a Patreon, that'll be in the extra cuts.
The extras.
There you go. Corey, do you have any more recommendations for our curious boudin?
I think that's it. Those are the ones that I really, really wanted to recommend. So I suggest those. If you ever like want something, like if you're into K-drama, I guess the one that I would recommend for K-drama is To My Star or Color Rush, which I'm very surprised that I actually really liked it. Because of course I love Omegaverse. So it's kind of like very Omegaverse-y type. And so I'm really happy that they touched that kind of like more other kind of tropes.
Yeah, it's the soulmate trope, like that whole classic, like you see colors when you meet your soulmate.
Kind right, of right, but it's very, you know, like it's a very Omegaverse type, you know, that kind of thing. Oh, and I would love to see, some more other type of like, you know, like even if they make up their own tropes like that, you know, like I would love to see more of those genres being picked on. But so if you're into K-drama, I think that those two would be a good intro into the BL K-drama side.
I watched To My Star unmedicated because I was out of my Adderall because my regular doctor moved and ADHD made it difficult for me to find another doctor. Mm-hmm. So I was suffering and I watched To My Star and I couldn't pay attention to it. But then I watched season two and that shit blew my mind. It is my favorite so Korean BL now. Like,
it is so sweet though. It is so sweet. I love that one.
It is. Okay. It's so good. I hope they come out.
And I can see the chemistry. Like the chemistry and the actors are really good.
Oh, for sure.
So because y'all said star and we're talking about KJC dramas, all the dramas, it made me remember every time I log on to my Viki account, you know, it recommends things to you. Mm-hmm. And there's a non-BL series that I know in my heart of hearts, it's called Shooting Stars.
Oh yeah, but it's shattering. Oh, yeah. Shooting Stars.
The way they have the fucking asterisks in the title, I'm
the O's, like for the O's, they put stars. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. It's supposed to be like that. Yeah, it's supposed to make you think like, oh, yeah.
because they have a very like they have a feisty relationship. Like it's like a love hate relationship in the character. I don't particularly got into that drama. I tried and I was like, not my thing. So
I only watch hit
stuff when
watch
it seems gay. Yeah, like I watched Coffee Prince.
I couldn't
Mr. Queen.
I couldn't get into that one. I mean, I watch a lot of other dramas. Like I watch so much. Like people are like, how do you have time to watch all these things? I'm like, I just like dramas. I watch
them. I just don't sleep, obviously. Yeah.
probably not. But I'm very picky because I watch so much. I'm very picky on my shows. So that
well,
one's
yeah, you gotta
not,
be. Yeah.
That's not one that I strongly recommend.
No, so, it's definitely not one I'll ever watch, but it's always on the recommended when I open up Viki and I'm just like, LOL, shitting stars.
I will recommend one that's a hetero that I am recently watching and I've been making a lot of my friends and a lot of my
hetero.
Yeah, I know, right? I know, right? What am I talking about? Right? I know, like, what am I talking about? But I made a lot of my Fujo fans watch it, and they love it. And it's gotten so popular that it's now on Netflix. It's called Love Between Fairy and Devil. So it's a fantasy Chinese drama, but it's so fast paced. Like, it gets into it like right quick. And there are so many ships in that show, like so many ships. Like one of my first ships were like these besties, and like they're like the immortals in the heaven like kind of realm. And there's these besties. They actually, the first scene that they get on together, they go into a painting and they're on a ship together. Like they're on a boat together. And they're like the way that they film it is like they're like art. Inside, like, because they're inside a painting, so they're like very like 2D flat style, but like they're beautiful men sitting across from each other drinking wine, and I'm like, you guys are like a ship, like you're sailing like to like literally, but you are going like I'm shipping you.
This ship is literally sailing.
Then of course the main characters later on will get a ship, and I ship them like none other. Like they're so hilarious because they're enemies. When they're like, because one of them is in the immortal, like is like a fairy, and then the other one is like from the Moon Kingdom. By the way, Moon Kingdom, hello, You're gonna love it.
That's my fucking vibe.
I was like, yeah. And so he's called the Moon Supreme. The Moon Supreme is like from the double side. Like he's more the darker side. And so they're like, they both love the same girl, but and so they don't like each other. But then they both go into like the human realm. And when they're in the human realm, the one that's the fairy forgot that they're enemies. Like he's more of human and he's all like happy go lucky and like very, very like social butterfly. And he like starts to like befriend the devil. And like there's a thing about the devil is that he has a weakness to dumb people. Like he
me
can't...
the fuck too.
And so like whenever he like he's like, bro, let's become like real bros. And then like they like do the whole like sworn brother thing. And like you can see the devil's like, why am I doing this? Why am I drinking wine with him? It's hilarious. Like my friends, like who I even introduced this drama to, all love it. Like they have been so into it. And like I said, it is a hetero, but like there are so many ships in that show. That it's
like a shonen so manga, basically.
Yeah, but it got so popular that now it's on Netflix. So if anybody would like to watch that, it's very fun. It's super fun.
I don't really watch hit dramas. Like I said, the last one I watched was Mr. Queen. I really liked it, but it's about like a guy from modern times who gets transported into the body of an ancient queen. So it's like, it's still kind of gay because he has a king that he has to like consummate.
Oh. You might like this one too. You might like this one too because you know what? It has body swap.
Okay.
So the main girl and the main guy, they body swap. So you imagine like a weak fairy and like a badass moon supreme switching bodies and like it's hilarious. It's so much
you gotta
fun.
Appreciate when your favorite gay tropes show up in het stuff. You're like, I see you.
all the tropes are in there. It's so good. It is so good. But yeah, okay, I'm done with my recommendation.
Okay, so those are the recommendations. I hope you guys were taking notes. So for us here, what is your most anticipated upcoming series? For me, I'm really excited once I heard that they were making a season 2 of Blooming, the Korean BL. I am surprised about how much I liked Blooming. I had never read the original, which I believe is called like Blooming, What Does It Mean to Be Like Popular? I had never heard of it. The art style, I looked at it and I was like, that's not really for me. So I didn't go seek it out. But the story was so like sweet and like funny and wholesome and dramatic that I finished it all in a day. Like it dropped on Gaga Lal at one point and I was like, I'll come back for it. And when I finally did, I was like, I love this. I'm so glad they're making a season 2. I did not see that coming.
Thank you for letting me know that they're making a season 2. I'm excited.
Yeah, I was like, okay, it must have done really well if they're making a season 2 because like it finished like months and months ago. And I was like, oh, that was really nice. I hope they make a DVD of it. I love to like have it. And then I was looking up information about it and like, oh yeah, season 2 is announced. I'm like, oh, okay, great. For Thai BL, I'm excited for Between Us, which follows a side couple from a Thai BL known as Until We Meet Again. Controversial opinion, Until We Meet Again is probably the most boring show I've ever watched about a double suicide. And like, damn, maybe it's because I watched it like early on in my like live action series career, but I was like, I don't feel this. And I know it's really popular and I feel like my life is on the line because I said this out loud, but I mean, the only bright spot for me in that series was this side couple. And now they are getting their own series after years of delay. It's coming out, I believe, this month. So I'm really excited for that.
I'm just dying over it's a boring double suicide. Like, damn, these people suck. They might as well kill themselves. Oh,
shit. Oh, no. And I was like, damn, this is so boring. I'm like, God. Because it's like the most boring series I've ever watched about a double suicide.
What a tagline.
But great side characters, and I'm happy for the drama coming out for them. What about you, Curio?
Chains of Heart, which is a Thai BL series coming out in December. Yay. I literally saw the description for it and I was like, I have to watch this immediately because it's got a young like forestry officer who gets involved with a gang of illegal smugglers, and then he falls off a cliff, and then he goes into a coma, and he wakes up. And
all the tropes!
mysterious guy that shows up that looks like a person he was having a relationship with years ago that he thought was gone, and I was like, ready for it.
Say less.
I was like, oh my god, me sold. So too, I am very excited. I also think that it was adapted from a web novel, which I haven't read the web novel yet, and I'm trying to decide if I want to read it before watching the show or not. So,
always a tough call.
I know. Yeah, I don't know, but the show doesn't come out till December.
Most YA novel, like most YA dramas are adapted from YA novels, but unless it's an official translation, they're pretty difficult to read because Thai is a very difficult language to like translate.
I agree.
So it's like I would say hold off on reading.
Yeah, I might hold off then, but that's
because you might get confused.
True. Watching the drama might actually help me go back if I do read the novel. So but I'm very excited about that one, and it had all the tropes that I was like, yes. So,
well, if you want to read, like, watch a series about a forest officer who gets involved with like stopping some illegal activity, A Tale of Thousand Stars on like Grammy's YouTube,
it's
very highly rated. Also very good. There is like some pseudo supernatural stuff though. A woman gets hit by a car, everything's happening. It's great. So if you want to like save yourself before that happens, I definitely recommend Tale of Thousand Stars.
Okay. Yeah. It's very popular. I strongly recommend if you like those kind of stuff to watch it. Yeah.
I appreciate IBL recognizing these weird, not weird, but not usually talked about jobs. Like I didn't know there was gonna be two forestry.
Actually, the guy in The Tale of a Thousand Stars was meant to be like a military man, but they changed him to a forest officer because they didn't want the military to be associated with gayness. A little drama for you there, but
I know. Thank you for the info.
Tidbit.
What about you, Kit? What's your most anticipated upcoming series?
So, admittedly, I'm a piece of shit and I'm so far behind on my watch list that I'm just anticipating watching the things on my watch list. But I am ready to hear any news about season 3 of A Man Who Defies the World of BL.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
That the minute I'm told anything about that, I will be ready. Like, I don't care if I've been out of ADHD medicine for months now, but I'll fucking make myself watch it. I'm really excited about that one. And also really want to actually sit down and watch Pornographer because I really enjoyed the manga. God, that's a good series.
It's on Viki if you need my login.
I think I have, do I have Viki? Yeah, I have Viki. So we're good on Viki. I know. That was one I was like, fuck, there's just too many series on here. I have to.
Yeah. Viki has so much. It just has so much.
They really do. Like, God bless them.
Yeah. I also say at the end of like A Man Who Defies the World of BL season 2, when he said, maybe see you in season 3, I was like, fuck you. Why the hell would you end it that or that way and tell me that? But God, I'm excited.
No maybe. Give us a season 3 right the fuck now.
Right now. I want it in my eyeballs now.
Yeah. Like, so I'm always ready to hear any news that we're getting that season 3 because it needs it and I want it. See, that's the thing. Like, my list of things to watch is so long. I can't even
It just keeps growing.
I can't look at upcoming series because I already know they'll be on my list. So I am anticipating sitting down and watching shit.
I'm sure you're at the point where I'm sure you're at the point where your list is so long that you can't remember which one is actually out and which one's not yet.
Yeah,
absolutely. Like, I have to be reminded. Like, thankfully, Cho sent me a very wonderful list on Instagram that I'm like, oh yeah, I gotta reference this and go back and watch this and start this. But then I see a random GIF of something on Twitter and I'm like, oh well, what the hell is it? You know. We're in a period of time where we just have so many options and it's wonderful, but also challenging.
Yes.
What about you, Koi? I'm sure you've got an actual list.
I have some. I'm very picky on my drama. So like there's sometimes, you know, there's trailers that come out. I'm like, and then when later on the show comes out, I might be more interested. But the ones that I do have on my list currently, of course, this is not the series, but this is the movie. The Red, White, World, Blue is very, very high up there. So I am looking forward for that. Like so much. I hope it comes out soon, because they're done filming. So
yeah, I'm like, where's our release date?
Yeah, I know. Hopefully we'll get that release date soon. I'm currently watching an aired Taiwanese drama called About Youth. And so I am constantly anticipating the next episodes. Yes, what were you going to say, Choi?
I would just say like, oh yes, About Youth. It's so good.
Oh, it is so good. Have you been watching it?
I have, yeah.
Okay. I'm really happy with what they did in there. The music is amazing. OST is great. I love it. I love that they take normal tropes, but like twist it. You know, like what you get with like, so one of my favorite parts about it is like, you have this like geeky boy in school, but he's actually more like the top than the bottom. Mm-hmm. And he's more of the ones that's like, flirtatious than the other one, who is like the popular guy at school, but he's actually the more shy one. So it's kind of interesting to see that dynamic. And I love, there's like cross-dressing addressed in there, and there's a lot of stuff in there that I really like that they're putting in the show. Of course, another one that I am anticipating is also We Best Love season 3, My Tooth, Your Love.
Yeah.
I look forward to that, but actually the one I'm looking forward to, it's about a dentist and his patient who's afraid of like going to see the doctor or dentist. But the one that I'm actually looking forward to in that show is the side couple, because the side couple has Alex, who was the bartender mm-hmm. in the first season and second season of We Best Love. So I also would love to see a We Best Love like season 3 of the original cast, but I don't know if they're going to do that or not. And then the rest of the show that I am hoping to see, before I go to the rest of the show, there's one Thai show that I recently just saw a trailer for that I may check it out. And because it's just interesting. It's called Big Dragon.
Oh,
I don't
yes.
know if any, yes. That yeah. trailer just Warning. Caught my eye. Yeah, I know. Right. That trailer just caught my eye. I was like, okay. The whole trailer was about one of the guys like setting up like a revenge on another guy who hit on his girl. And so he was going to like make a film of them sleeping together just to like blackmail him. But then as they're doing it, the one that's sleeping wakes up and jumps on top of him. I was like, what? What
is going on? How do I get back at this man? I know. I'll fuck him.
Yeah. I was like, what is going on?
It's the only solution.
Yeah. And then now the one that was supposed to be blackmail has the blackmail on the first one. So I was just like, okay, this is interesting. So I have that on my list of maybe to check out. And then the rest of the shows that haven't been set to air yet are from China, but I have prayer circles for them. so like I've been praying for them to come out. There's Immortality, which is from Tuha, like Husky and his white cat.
Yeah.
There's Winner is King, Sapolang. And there's Eternal Faith, which is Heaven Official's Blessing. Those three are my top from China that I really, really hope they come out, because they already filmed it. All of them has been filmed for years.
And we have seen Hua Shang and Zhang Li pictures, and damn it, I want to see that show.
Right?
So bad. They look to pass right? the board. Good.
They just need to pass it. I'm so mad at their government. Like, you have no idea. But like the actual like people there, like whoever's supporting BL, I fully support them. Like, mm-hmm. go for it. Make these things.
They're doing the Lord's work.
Yeah. So those are some of the ones that I am anticipating, but maybe hopefully we will get it someday.
Yes. Gotta believe.
Yes,
I think about it. I'm also interested to see how the Killing Stalking live action will go. It's already generated a lot of controversy because of course it has, but I want to know how that's gonna be.
Yes, because damn, if there's a series that'll get people fighting,
that's gotta be that one.
I feel like Kim Porsche paved the way, because spoiler alert, you probably heard, and Kim Porsche, the side couple, Vegas and Pete, starts off as like he kidnaps Pete and tortures him for days. Hell, and it's like a Stockholm syndrome situation, but they're like probably almost as like popular, if not a little bit more so than
Is that the Ingredients couple?
No. That's the third couple.
About Ingredients. Yeah.
And this time gameplay is not with Jeff. Jeff has a new partner because gameplay couldn't do this one. Yeah, gameplay. Okay. He was in the original casting, but then they were on hiatus and gameplay took another thing that conflicted. So Jeff has a new partner for this one.
Gotcha. But I still like him. So
yeah, he's great. He's beautiful voice. Great OST. But yeah, the second couple in that, Vegas and Pete, is very problematic, but Everyone pretty much universally loves them. So I'm like, maybe we're shifting a little bit away from like the Puritan, like you can only show queer love if it's like squeaky clean and everything that you like in fiction is like a representation of what you want to do with real life kind of thing. And so maybe like it'll be received a little bit better, but I hope so.
I do like that that BL has gone to an industry, like the industry has gone into a point where they're more comfortable with showing that, hey, just because it's BL doesn't mean that it's not toxic. There's toxicity in a normal romance. So
The straights can have drama, let the gays have drama because we are drama queens.
Exactly.
I do want to circle back. Y'all mentioned Ingredients. I don't know why I totally forgot about it, but holy shit, I want to recommend that one too.
Yes.
That is such a cute, if you like cooking and music and just pure fluff, Ingredients. Okay, sorry.
And also because you like described about Youth as like, you know, you have the popular guy with the outcast guy. I'm like, My Beautiful Man, also a great recommendation from Japan. Oh, it's getting like a movie adaptation. Man. It is amazing. It was like the first BL drama like box set that I bought. Totally great.
Ooh.
Gotta watch it.
Ooh, exciting.
Damn it. Yeah. I have errands to do. And now all I want to do is go back into my room and watch
more.
Right. Yeah.
It's our curse.
Same.
So to make sure that Kit can do her errands, we're going to wrap it up there. Thank you guys so much for listening. I hope this was like eye-opening for those of you who are new to live action dramas, or, you know, if maybe it sparked some like thoughts in your head about live action dramas. If you're a fan, please let us know what you think. Give us your recommendations. You can always just like reply to our Twitter or even email us at blgardenofficial@gmail.com. We are always down to talk about live action dramas. We're very looking forward to our first BL night. Thank you, Kit, so much for hosting. So yeah, thank you guys so much for listening, and we will catch y'all later. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.